Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present Honduras Episode 4, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 13, The Drug War and Organized Crime, A Nation Under Siege. A Storytelling Narrative. Part 1, The Cocaine Highway, How Honduras Became a Narco-State. The sun rises over San Pedro Sula, casting long shadows over the barrios where silence is more powerful than screams. The air is thick with the scent of fear and gunpowder, where the streets are ruled not by the government, but by men with AK-47s, sicarios, assassins, and cartel bosses who answer to no one. For decades, Honduras had been a country caught in the crossfire, between foreign corporations, military dictators, and corrupt politicians. But by the 1990s, a new power emerged. A power that did not need elections or laws. A power that bought governments and executed its enemies in broad daylight. The cartels. At first, Honduras was just a transit point, a place where Colombian cocaine passed through on its way to Mexico and the United States. But soon, the drug trade became more than a business. It became the economy itself. Entire police forces were bribed to turn a blind eye. Politicians accepted cartel money in exchange for power. Poor families, desperate for survival, sent their children to work as lookouts, couriers, and assassins. By the 2000s, Honduras was no longer just a country in crisis. It was a narco-state, where the government and the cartels were often one and the same. Part 2. The Cartels of Honduras, the Hidden Rulers. For years, Honduras was controlled by outsiders, the Spanish, the United States, the fruit companies. But now the real power belonged to the cartels. And their names were whispered in fear. Los Cachiros, a family-run drug empire that dominated northern Honduras, with ties to the highest levels of government. The Valle Valle cartel, ruthless traffickers operating along the Honduras-Guatemala border, moving tons of cocaine every year. Los Pinto, a violent criminal network deeply embedded in politics and law enforcement. These groups did not just move drugs. They owned police officers, mayors, judges, and military commanders. They built mansions and airstrips deep in the jungle, where private jets carrying cocaine landed every night. They funded election campaigns, ensuring that their chosen candidates would protect them from prosecution. And for those who dared to speak out, investigate, or resist, there was only one fate: death. Part 3. The Political Connection, When the Government Works for the Cartels. By the 2010s, it became impossible to tell where the government ended and the cartels began. Every major political scandal, every rigged election, every mysterious disappearance led back to one thing: drug money. The most shocking moment came in 2022, when former President Juan Orlando Hernandez, the man who had ruled Honduras for 8 years, was extradited to the United States on drug trafficking charges. The U.S. government accused him of protecting cartel leaders in exchange for millions in bribes, using the Honduran military to help smuggle cocaine into the U.S., eliminating rivals with cartel-funded death squads. The people of Honduras had long suspected the truth. Now they had proof. Their country had been ruled by a drug kingpin in a suit. But even as Hernandez was flown to face trial in the United States, the cartels remained intact. Because in Honduras, presidents may change, but corruption is forever. Part 4. The Gangs, the War for the Streets. If the cartels control the drug trade, the gangs control the people. And no gangs are more feared than MS-13, Mara Salvatrucha. Barrio 18, 18th Street Gang. Born in Los Angeles and deported to Central America in the 1990s, these gangs have transformed entire neighborhoods into war zones. They operate like military units, with command structures, extortion rackets, kill lists for enemies and traitors. In many parts of Honduras, gangs have more power than the government. They tax businesses, forcing shop owners to pay a war fee for protection. They control entire bus routes, making transportation impossible without their approval. They kill without consequence, their bodies dumped in the rivers, streets, and mass graves. And the police? They are either afraid or on the payroll. Part 5. The War on Drugs, a battle Honduras is losing. For decades, Honduras has fought the war on drugs. It has received billions in U.S. military aid, built elite anti-narcotics task forces, executed high-profile cartel arrests. But the truth is simple. The war is a failure. Because as long as the U.S. demand for cocaine continues, the drugs will flow. Honduran politicians profit from the trade, corruption will persist. The gangs offer a better future than the government. Young men will keep joining them. And so, despite all the policies, strategies, and police raids, Honduras remains one of the largest drug transit hubs in the world. The flow of cocaine is unstoppable. The cycle of violence is endless. The cartels remain untouchable. And the people? They are left to suffer in silence. Part 6. The future. Is there a way out? For many, the answer is no. Honduras is seen as a lost cause, a place where crime rules, where justice is bought, where death is just another business transaction. But some still hope. Anti-corruption movements are demanding an end to impunity. Community leaders are working to reclaim their neighborhoods from gangs. New generations are pushing for real change, refusing to accept the violence as normal. The road ahead is dangerous. The fight will not be easy. But if history has proven anything, it's that Hondurans do not give up. They have survived colonization, war, dictatorship, and collapse. And though the battle against the cartels and corruption is far from over, there is still one thing the criminals have not been able to kill. Hope. The hope that one day, Honduras will no longer be a narco state, a place where fear rules and justice is sold to the highest bidder. The hope that one day, the people will reclaim what has always been theirs. The hope that the chains will finally be broken. Chapter 14. The Honduran Spirit, Culture, Art, and Heritage. Part 1. The Soul of a Nation, a culture forged in struggle and survival. Honduras is many things. It is a land of mountains and rivers, of jungles and oceans. It is a land of pain and resilience, of violence and hope. It is a land shaped by centuries of conquest, revolution, and survival. But if you want to understand Honduras, you must look beyond the history books. You must listen to the music. You must taste the food. You must see the art, hear the language, and feel the rhythm of its people. Because despite everything, the war, the corruption, the poverty, Honduras is still alive. Its spirit has never been broken, and its culture is the proof. Part 2. The Music of the People, the Sound of Resistance and Celebration. If you walk the streets of Tegucigalpa, if you step into a Garifuna village by the sea, if you pass through a small mountain town, you will hear Honduras' true voice, its music. Punta, the heartbeat of the Garifuna people, a fast-paced dance with deep African roots, played with the hypnotic beat of drums and maracas. Rancheras and corridos, ballads of love, loss, and rebellion, sung with the sound of guitars and accordions. Marimba, the wooden xylophone that carries the echoes of indigenous rhythms from the Maya and Lenca people. Reggaeton and hip-hop, the voice of a new generation, blending Spanish lyrics with the beats of the modern world. Honduras sings not just to celebrate, but to remember, to resist, to reclaim its voice. Because in a country where truth is often silenced, music is a weapon. And the people will never stop singing. Part 3. The Food of Honduras, A Taste of History. Honduran food is not just a meal, it is a story. A story of indigenous tradition, African influence, and Spanish conquest. All mixed together in flavors that tell the history of the land itself. Bailadas, the food of the working class, a simple yet delicious flour tortilla filled with refried beans, cheese, and cream. Sopa de caracol, a Garifuna dish from the Caribbean coast, made with conch, coconut milk, and spices. Tamales and mantucas. Wrapped in banana leaves, these corn-based treats have been made the same way for hundreds of years. Plato típico, the traditional Honduran plate, grilled meat, fried plantains, beans, rice, and tortillas, a blend of indigenous and Spanish flavors. Yucatan chicharrón, a dish of cassava root topped with crispy pork, a favorite among street vendors and roadside cooks. Each meal is a memory of the past, a tribute to the ancestors who worked the land, fished the waters, and built the cities. And even in times of hardship, the people of Honduras never stop cooking, never stop feeding one another, never stop sharing their culture, one plate at a time. Part 4, Art and Storytelling, The Voice of a Forgotten People. Honduran art is rebellion. For centuries, the voices of the indigenous, the poor, the exiled have been erased, ignored, silenced. But their stories live on, in murals, in paintings, in poetry, in the graffiti that covers the walls of the cities. José Antonio Velázquez, the father of Honduran folk art, whose paintings capture the beauty of the countryside, the villages, the everyday life of the people. Leticia Banegas, a modern artist whose work blends surrealism, fantasy, and the raw emotion of Honduras struggles. Salvador Moncada, a poet whose words challenge the corrupt leaders, the forgotten histories, the voices that were lost to time. Street artists and muralists, the anonymous painters who cover the cities with messages of protest, of hope, of memory. Art that cannot be taken down because it belongs to the people. Honduras may not be famous for its art, but its people carry creativity in their blood. And every brushstroke, every word, every song is a reminder that they are still here, that they have not been erased. Part 5, Language and Identity, The Many Voices of Honduras. Honduras is not just Spanish. It is Lenca, Garifuna, Pesh, Tawaka, Taliapin, English, Creole. It is a land of many tongues, many stories, many histories. But with every passing year, some of those languages fade. The Lenca people, once rulers of the Western Highlands, now struggle to keep their language alive. The Garifuna people fight to ensure their children still speak the words of their ancestors. The Pesh, Tawaka, and Taliapin hold on to their traditions, even as the world tries to erase them. Language is not just words, it is identity, memory, belonging. And for Honduras, every lost language is a lost piece of its soul. But the people continue to fight, because to lose their language is to lose everything. And that is something they refuse to let happen. Part 6, The Future of Honduran Culture. What comes next? Honduras is not just its past. It is its future. Young musicians mix traditional rhythms with reggaeton and hip-hop, creating a new sound. Filmmakers tell stories that have never been told before. Activists fight to preserve indigenous lands, languages, and traditions. Chefs take traditional recipes and turn them into new culinary masterpieces. Even in the face of violence, corruption, and hardship, Honduras culture remains unbreakable. Because culture is more than history. It is the people themselves. It is the Garifuna drumming on the beaches of Tila. It is the indigenous elders whispering stories to their grandchildren. It is the street artists painting murals of those who were lost. It is the sound of marimbas in the markets of Comayagua. It is the taste of baladas in a family kitchen. Honduras has suffered. Honduras has struggled. Honduras has been forgotten by the world. But its people have never forgotten themselves. And no matter what comes next, the Honduran spirit will endure. Because it always has. Because it always will. Chapter 15, The Future of Honduras, Challenges and Hopes. Part 1, The Crossroads, A Nation on the Brink. The sun rises over Tegucigalpa, casting long shadows over the hillside barrios, where life is a daily fight for survival, dignity, and hope. For centuries, Honduras has been a land of struggle. It has fought off empires. It has endured dictators. It has survived the corruption of its own leaders. And now, as it moves deeper into the 21st century, it faces its greatest question yet. Will Honduras break free from the chains of its past? Or will history repeat itself once again? The world is watching. And the people of Honduras are waiting. Because the future is not guaranteed. It must be fought for. Part 2, The Major Challenges Honduras Faces Today. Honduras stands at a crossroads, facing 5 major challenges that will define its future. 1. Corruption. Can the system be reformed? For decades, corruption has been the disease eating Honduras from the inside out. Presidents have worked with drug cartels. Police officers have taken bribes instead of enforcing laws. Elections have been rigged, making democracy a lie. Can the people reclaim their government? Or will Honduras remain a place where power belongs to the highest bidder? 2. Organized crime. Can the violence end? Honduras remains one of the most dangerous countries in the world, with cities like San Pedro Sula and Tegucigalpa ranking among the murder capitals of the planet. Gangs like MS-13 and Barrio 18 rule entire neighborhoods. The drug trade continues to fund violence. Ordinary people live in fear, forced to pay extortion fees just to survive. Can the government take back control from the gangs? Or will the streets belong to the cartels forever? 3. Poverty and migration. Can the people stay? Every year, thousands of Hondurans flee their homeland, escaping poverty, hunger, and crime. Parents send their children north, hoping for a better life. Young men leave to avoid being forced into gangs. Entire villages are abandoned, their people disappearing into the migrant caravans. Can Honduras create an economy where people want to stay? Or will the future of Honduras exist outside its borders? 4. Climate change. Will the land survive? Honduras is facing an environmental catastrophe. Hurricanes like Eta and Iota, 2020, have devastated entire regions. Deforestation is destroying the country's rainforests. Rising sea levels threaten coastal communities, especially Garifuna villages. Can Honduras protect its land, forests, and waters? Or will it become a nation where climate disasters leave millions without homes? 5. The fight for justice. Who will hold the powerful accountable? For too long, the people of Honduras have watched their leaders steal, lie, and kill without consequence. But that is beginning to change. Activists are exposing corruption. Communities are organizing to defend their land. International courts are prosecuting politicians involved in drug trafficking. Can Honduras become a country where justice is real? Or will the powerful continue to rule without fear? Part 3. Signs of hope. The people fighting for a new Honduras. Even in the darkest times, Honduras has never stopped fighting. And today, a new generation is rising. Human rights activists are demanding justice for the murdered and the disappeared. Indigenous communities are resisting corporate land theft. New political leaders are challenging the corrupt establishment. Some of the bravest voices in Honduras today include Berta Cáceres, 1971 to 2016, a Lenca environmental activist who was assassinated for defending her people's land. Her legacy continues in the fight for indigenous rights. Miriam Miranda, a Garifuna leader who has fought against corporate land grabs and the destruction of Afro-Honduran communities. José Manuel Zelaya Rosales, the former president, ousted in the 2009 coup, remains a symbol of resistance against political corruption. The youth of Honduras. Across the country, young people are protesting, organizing, and demanding a better future. Change does not come overnight. But for the first time in decades, there is a real movement for justice, reform, and accountability. The question is, will it be enough? Part 4. The role of the international community. Will the world help or exploit? Honduras has never been truly independent. It has always been at the mercy of Spain, the United States, global corporations, and foreign investors. But in the 21st century, the international community faces a choice. 1. Will the United States continue to exploit Honduras? The U.S. has funded corrupt governments for decades. Will it stop? The U.S. depends on Honduran labor and resources. Will it give fair trade deals? The U.S. deports thousands of Hondurans every year. Will it provide real immigration solutions? 2. Will foreign corporations respect Honduras' sovereignty? Will mining companies stop polluting indigenous lands? Will banana and palm oil companies pay fair wages? Will multinational businesses stop using Honduras as a source of cheap labor? 3. Will the global community help Honduras fight crime and corruption? Will drug-consuming countries like the U.S. take responsibility for fueling the trade? Will international courts hold Honduran politicians accountable? Will human rights organizations continue exposing government abuses? Honduras does not need saviors, but it deserves justice. And the world must decide whether it will continue to exploit Honduras or stand with its people in their fight for a better future. Part 5. A new Honduras. What comes next? Despite its many challenges, Honduras is not a country without hope. It is a country of survivors, a nation of fighters, a people who refuse to give up. The future will not be given to them. They will have to fight for it, as they always have. And maybe, just maybe, this time they will win. The Honduras of tomorrow is not yet written. But one thing is certain. The people will never stop fighting for it. Because they never have. And they never will. Chapter 16. The Soul of Honduras, a Nation's Unbreakable Spirit. Part 1. The Resilience of a People. Honduras is not just its history. It is not just the land of the Maya, the conquest of Spain, the exploitation of the United States, or the corruption of its leaders. Honduras is its people. A people who have been betrayed by governments, abandoned by the world, and forced to flee their own land. And yet, they are still here. Still fighting. Still creating. Still dreaming of something better. Because in every village, every city, every barrio, there is a fire that will not die. A belief that one day, the chains will break for good. That Honduras will finally belong to its people once again. Part 2. What it means to be Honduran. To be Honduran is to be a survivor. It is to know hardship, but never surrender to it. It is to live in a land of injustice, but still believe in justice. It is to face violence, corruption, and betrayal, but still get up every morning and fight for a better day. To be Honduran is to celebrate life with music, food, and family, even in the hardest of times. Hold on to the traditions of your ancestors, refusing to let history erase them. Work tirelessly, knowing that every sacrifice is for the next generation. Love your country, even when your country has not loved you back. Because Honduras is not just a place. It is a people, a culture, a spirit that cannot be destroyed. Part 3. The fight for the future. Will the people finally win? For centuries, Honduras has been a nation in waiting. Waiting for justice. Waiting for leaders who do not steal. Waiting for an economy that benefits the people, not just the elite. Waiting for a future that is not defined by crime and corruption. And yet, Honduras cannot wait forever. The people have already waited too long. The time for change is now. But who will lead it? Who will rise to break the cycle of rigged elections, criminal rule, foreign exploitation? Who will say enough is enough? The answer does not belong to politicians, corporations, or foreign powers. It belongs to the people. It belongs to the next generation. Those who will reclaim their land, resist corruption, fight for real democracy, tell their own stories, without waiting for the world to listen. Because change will not come from above. It must rise from within. And the people of Honduras must be the ones to build it. Part 4. The soul of Honduras, a story still being written. Honduras is not a tragedy. It is not just a nation of poverty, crime, and corruption. It is a nation of beauty, strength, unbreakable resilience. A land of ancient ruins and modern cities. A land of mountains that kiss the sky and beaches that touch eternity. A land of people who refuse to be forgotten. For all its struggles, Honduras is still standing. And as long as there are mothers raising their children with hope. Young people demanding a future that is theirs. Artists, musicians, and storytellers who refuse to be silenced. Then Honduras will never truly be defeated. Because a nation is not its leaders. It is not its borders. It is not its history of oppression. A nation is its people. And the people of Honduras are still here. Still fighting. Still dreaming. Still unbreakable. The future of Honduras is not yet written. But if there is one thing that is certain, it is this. The people will write it themselves. And this time, they will not let anyone steal it from them.